Welcome. This is Adimena today, and I'm your host, Hope Oriri. On this edition of the program, I have the pleasure of being joined by Engineer Israel Obadan. He's the president of the Association of Marine Engineers and Surveyors, as he shares with us on the lineup of activities scheduled for the forthcoming 16th AMES Technical Summit to hold in Lagos. Stay with us.
Okay, thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome.
The Maritime Technical Summit, we call it, is actually an annual event. It's a flagship event of our Association of Marine Engineers and Surveyors, and we take it very seriously. And the purpose of that summit is actually to synergize with the outside world, the maritime business, how it affects the marine engineers and surveyors. When I say surveyors, in the marine parlance, surveyors mean ship inspectors or marine asset inspectors. So some people confuse it with the land surveyors. We are not land surveyors. We are having a gathering of who is who in the marine industry, even outside the maritime industry, to showcase what makes marine engineers and surveyors, what we can do, how we have been operating over the years. And that's basically what we want to do.
Okay.
For now.
I know the summit is going to have a collection of papers that will be delivered. For us, for the maritime industry, the marine and blue economy industry, there are some interests. We know it's a very technical area. Something that comes to mind most of the times when we see certain things happen in the marine or the maritime industry is the fact that there are some maritime emergencies, like sometime in March 2024, a ship rammed into
a
bridge. Yes, in the US. And we know you guys will always say the maritime industry or the maritime business is a global one. These concerns are there, and many times they say it could be as a result of human error or as a result of mechanical faults. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to it? What are the very basic concerns of safety when it comes to those issues?
Okay. As you well know, the mariners, we call ourselves as marine engineers, all those that work in the maritime environment, they are well-trained professionals. When I mean well-trained, a lot has been put in because of the environment they work in, because of the assets they handle. Very expensive assets. You can imagine the value of a ship. Big ships. These days, the ships are getting bigger and it gets more sophisticated and much more expensive. So you've got to have people that operate such assets. They must be properly trained. So that is why the International Maritime Organization, the United Nations arm of the maritime industry, takes training of mariners very seriously. So the accident you talk about, there will always be accidents. It's because of that they make sure all the operators or the mariners are properly trained. There's no cutting of corners. And because of those accidents, the mariners make sure they are skilled. They are skilled in the sense that there's what you call the STCW convention, the standard of training of mariners. And it's like, I call it a Bible, sort of the mariners, or seafarers, right? And all that is there must be adhered to in terms of training, education of those that are good at practices, that is the mariners.
Yeah.
So in the event of that, that is why the accident you are talking about, anybody that's going to, any professional that's going to operate it must be properly skilled, adequately trained, must have gone to institutions that are well regulated, not just any institutions. You know very well that the maritime industry is made up of specialist institutions.
Yeah.
We call them maritime training, MTIs, maritime training.
Can I just chip in?
You're
talking about people being well trained to be able to function within that environment.
Yes.
Now let's look back home in that regard. How will you assess the MTIs that we have and what they have been doing over the years?
Yes. If I have to go back a little bit.
Yes.
The issue of standard of MTIs is very, very important. And like you know, the IMO is the international regulatory body of all this maritime business, including MTIs, including the seafarers or the mariners, their standard of training and education. So most of these MTIs, whatever they do, is based on rules and regulations, their practices. The training of the mariners is based on the STCW convention.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that they do. It's not haphazard. They are well streamlined. And the Nigerian MTIs, I will give them credit because they are mostly, apart from the Man Oron, Manitan Academy Oron, which has got a very good footing now because the present administration of that institution have really done a very good job. They have brought it up to international standard. But there are private ones as well.
Yeah.
And because of concerns over the years of association like us, AMES, yeah, they've got to sit up.
Yeah.
We made them to sit up. We provide services, you know, to them. Provide our marine professionals to go lecture there, to go train some of their students. So they are trying now. They are really trying because one, their success again. Nigeria going on the white list. What we call the white list depends.
In fact, I was going to come to that.
Nigeria going on the white list.
Yes.
Depends on their own standards.
Good.
Too. Right. So they have even if they are not sitting up, the regulatory authority, which is NEMASA in this case, the flag authority,
yeah,
have to make them to sit up. So they are putting in everything now, unlike before, to make sure they have international standards.
Let's look at that issue of the white Nigeria being on the white list.
Yes.
You know, the last time Nigeria made efforts but yeah, couldn't get it.
Yeah.
The time before the last one as well, mm-hmm, couldn't get it.
Mm.
If from your point of view as a marine professional, mm, how well are we doing? Or what should we be doing?
Yes, because of those failures.
Yeah.
I think the only time Nigeria actually came on the white list was once, a few years back. After that, they dropped off it again.
Well, Nigeria seems to be doing so much maritime,
yes,
activities taking place.
Yeah, it can be...
Is it structure?
Yeah.
Is it...
Well, I don't want...
What does the IMO actually look at?
Yes, the IMO, why are we failing the white list?
Fine, that should be the question.
That's the reason why we are failing it. If you go for an exam and you don't pass, you know why you are failing. You must know why you are failing, right?
Certainly.
And so, why we are failing is because we are not meeting the criteria for the white list.
What are those criteria?
Yes. One, your MTIs has to be of standard. When we say they are of standard, they must have training equipment, well-educated, adequate professionals that are going to impart knowledge on the students, right?
Okay.
There must be a good supervision by the flag authority who actually approves those institutions in the first place.
Okay.
And the flag authority themselves must have qualified personnel to be able to regulate the MTIs.
Certainly.
And don't forget, those, like I said, there is nothing you do in the maritime industry. It's well streamlined. They are based on certain sets of principles, practices, and regulations.
Okay. What about the regime of inspections?
MOU actually is a complementary inspection outfit, I would call them.
Yeah.
Right? They are all still IMO regulations.
Yeah.
The flag authority actually controls them as well.
Okay.
But to some extent, but they have a sort of independence. It's like the regime, inspection regime that the flag authority misses, the MOU should be able to catch it. What are these regimes? It's like what we did with especially is to inspect ships to be of standards,
good,
to put them of standard, right? Okay. So that is why we have the regional, now the MOUs are now regionalized.
Okay.
By 6 regions of the world, cover the whole world, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the one that concerns Nigeria is the Abuja MOU.
Yeah.
So what they do is to, wherever the NEMASA misses, they should be able to catch the vessels. Catching them in the sense they have to make sure they are of standard. They operate technically fit. Don't forget, these vessels, they move around the world.
Yeah.
Okay? A vessel can live.
So they should be fit to sail.
All the time.
Okay.
All the time. So there's no laxity as far as the seaworthiness of vessels are concerned.
Okay, so
they
now if we're doing this,
yes,
if Nigeria is doing this, what in your own thinking should we be looking forward to if Nigeria tries again on the next time to be on the white list? Because if we're doing well, if we're doing all this well, then there should be hope.
Yes.
That
don't forget this thing, you have to be seen to part things them for a period.
Okay.
It's not a one-off thing.
Okay.
They are watching you. They're watching you. Even if you don't go to their meetings all over there, before you leave Nigeria, the IMO, they know what is happening here.
Yeah.
They know. Okay. So what you are going to do is to make sure those things that they hold there that will put you on the white list, you do them. We just talked about the MOUs. The MOUs, don't forget, again, they are graded. Some of these institutions are graded.
Yeah.
Graded according to their efficiency and performance by the IMO. There are some they regard as up there the best. Mm. They grade them according to their performance, right? And so for you to be taken seriously by IMO, I've just sort of talked about those things that you have to do.
Yeah.
Quality of the human personnel, even the certification.
Yeah.
The certification of the MTIs, that is the products, the graduates of those schools.
Yeah.
Don't forget, the examinations they do is an STCW-based examinations. It's international, right? Okay, let me give you a scenario. If your country belongs to category C,
yes,
and another country belongs to category B outside, outside category C.
Okay.
And you have cadets or graduates from those institutions in category B. It's very likely that category C countries will not recognize your certificate if you're outside category C. Those are some of the implications.
Technicalities.
So it's a very serious business if you're involved in maritime, if you call yourself a maritime nation.
Okay, fine. Now, let's look at this. Mm. Your summit is going to, it's a technical summit.
Yes.
And you are going to be discussing a lot of issues.
Mm.
For us, the primary interest also would be shipping development. How would you assess shipping development in Nigeria holistically?
Considering where we are coming from.
Yes.
It's unfortunate. We have to keep looking back because that's where we came from.
Certainly.
Right? Yes. We just cannot help but look back. But unfortunately, presently, we are not there when you talk about shipping. The only thing you can say, you can give to shipping now is like the LNG.
Okay.
The LNG. Well, they are still Nigeria, but they are not Nigeria.
Why do I say that?
They are mostly, I don't think Nigeria even has faced the impact of that big shipping organization. We don't feel the impact. Why do I say that? Do you know such vessels, as big as they are, I don't know if they have changed.
Yeah.
They don't even do their, what do you call, virtualing in Nigeria.
Nigeria.
And last time I counted, they have more than 12 or 15 vessels.
Mm,
I'm sure it's much more than that. And these are big vessels. So, you know what virtually is, okay?
Yes.
Storing of vessels, you know?
Yeah.
So you can imagine if they were doing all those things, the type of business you create, right? Okay,
But right now, what can encourage them actually to begin to do virtualing in Nigeria? Because I read a few days back that they're actually trying to do quite a lot of indigenization, trying to bring
is that LNG?
LNG
that after how many years?
Trying to bring.
You are still trying to.
Trying to bring in Nigeria.
So it's a matter of will. It's a matter of will. I don't want to go. Is it maritime will or political will? I don't know what type of will that is. It's a matter of somebody just a Nigerian just sitting down. You don't blame them too because they gave out the ship management of that company to foreigners for a long time.
Mm.
I think Nigeria is heading it now, the shipping arm.
Mm.
So maybe that's why they are thinking now. To come back home. You know, it's a big slap on our face as a country when we have an outfit like that, right? And they're just doing things outside.
Involving Nigerians. If we want to look at it, at least based on what the issues that the MS Technical Summit is going to, going to be addressing, let's get a level of understanding of what the summit is going to be, what people are going to see.
Okay, for now, this particular summit, we are tailoring it to the marine transport and blue economy.
Okay.
Every year, we have different teams, right? But this year, because of the buzz of the new transport and blue economy, so we want to help. It's a new policy.
Yeah.
We want to help, I would like to help the ministry to know that we have professionals that can call on, have our input, sit down and talk with them.
Yeah.
Tell them what we know, what could be done. Show them the ways things are done because some of these things we practice. Actually, a blue economy is not a new thing. Mm-hmm. Countries like Norway. And don't forget, the blue economy has been practiced in Nigeria as far back as the 70s. People don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time Nigeria, the fishing industry was so much developed, the Nigeria Federal Government, they bought the most sophisticated shipping fishing vessels in the world,
mm-hmm.
brand new, in the 70s. Kokopo was dedicated as a fishing port as that because of that, right? But like everything...
But India doesn't have a dedicated fishing port as of now.
I don't know of any. I think the Cocoa port now has been turned to a naval base or whatever it is. Yes, we don't. So what we want
But would you advise that government should begin to probably take a second look at those. If those jobs, more jobs were created.
Yes.
Can those be revisited?
Yes. You know, some of these things they are not beyond us now. I said that these things were done in the 70s. Mm. Why were they done in the 70s? Because there are people that had the right political will to say, we are going to, they developed the money. Okay, how were we trained? How were we trained? If I tell you the level of intense training we had, our generations, you will not believe it. You will not think it's the same politicians then that we have now. Those things were formed, those policies were formed by politicians, driven by civil servants. Right? Okay, they can still be done. All we need is people with the right political work. President Tinubu has come in now, right? This marine transport ministry will be shouting about it, you know, for only God knows when.
Yeah.
But just to one man to bring it to bear.
Yeah.
And we're all rally around it now. Mm-hmm. But I hope after he leaves there, somebody will not just throw it to
the side.
So these are some of the issues.
The importance of continuity.
Yes. You know, sustainability is our problem. Mm. So what the MS summit is trying to do is to focus our attention to the new economy, a new ministry that has been brought to bear.
Yeah.
Tell government what can be done. We have our ideas. I give one of these ideas. There's what we call desalinization.
Yeah.
Desalinization involves producing fresh water from seawater, salt water.
Yeah.
That is the ocean.
Yeah.
It's been practiced in Nigeria. If you go to Escravo, Chevron is doing it for generations. That's the type of water Chevron uses. If anybody has been to Escravos, right? And Chevron is in the creek. So what stops the government from having such projects along our so much creeks that we have all over the place? Rivers, delta.
To help people get
deeper water.
Safe water.
Yeah.
That's good.
Dubai does it as well.
Mm.
So those are some of the effects, the benefits of the things we would like to discuss with the government, give them ideas.
Good.
They are not beyond us.
Good.
I mean, it's already been done. Chevron is doing it. They have a massive desalination plant in whatever.
I think it will be very beneficial because when professionals as you sit down to discuss these issues, government will hear, definitely those who also policymakers, they will hear and they will know. You know, you were talking about Nigeria being able to do these things in the 70s. I want to believe that such decisions must have been from awareness and knowledge. Probably people were talking more then. So MS and the rest should also begin to talk more.
Yeah, well,
so the government and the other people will know more.
Well, Wole Soyinka said some years back, he's tired of talking. That's why we're having the summit.
Yes, that's good.
Hopefully they will listen to us. We are inviting all the big politicians. Let them listen to us.
Good.
You are the politicians. We are the technocrats. We just want to encourage the politicians to that any good policies goes a very long way.
Yeah.
It might not serve their time, it could serve their own grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren.
Mm.
That's the way it is.
Mm.
I benefited from primary school. Awolowo is no longer here, it's long there. But those are policies, educational policies, is set in place that we enjoyed.
Still beneficial.
People are still enjoying,
still enjoying it.
So it's we are ready to, AMS as a professional association is always ready. And you know very well, by virtue of our training, we are not noisemakers.
Mm.
We don't make noise. We are technical people.
Okay, thank you. I'll take that as my takeaway from Engineer Israel Obada, the president of the Association of Marine Engineers and Surveyors, as we look forward to your forthcoming technical summit.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.